Isn't it great to be a Christian? Isn't it great to be a Christian? Oh, that sounded better. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together we said, Amen. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Well, it's always a special day when we gather together as the church, the body of Christ, and we have opportunities of just encouraging each other by our presence and being able to shake one another's hands or hug each other and just practice in being a family. That's a marvelous benefit of being together. And as I think Bobby was trying to help us emphasize for us, to anticipate the Lord's Supper and to think about the great gift of life that is ours because of God's foreknowledge and His planning, sending Jesus to offer His life and to die upon the cross for our sin. It's a great, great, great thing. Well, Mother's Day. It just seems like today is an honoring day, actually. We're going to honor tonight some of our young people who are graduating, Ashley, Brittany, Victoria, who are graduating. So come back and be with us tonight and help us honor them as well. Mother's Day, I think about the challenge of preaching on Mother's Day. Been doing it for a long time. I don't know why it doesn't seem really to get any easier. I know that our expectations that when we come may be in many different places. I know that out in the audience that it's very possible that there are people who are sitting here who have godly mothers, or were not raised in Christian homes. That's a very real possibility. There are possibilities of other kinds of difficulties in our world, growing up in other kinds of homes, where there are issues, where there are mothers who sometimes feel as though they have failed their children, or let them down, or haven't been the kind of mother they should be, struggling maybe even to do what is next. It's hard to cover all of those different things when you're trying to think about what do we want to say about being together on a Mother's Day. I guess I've preached, this will be my 50th Mother's Day sermon, or at least I rose up to speak. I don't know whether I always did the Mother's Day thing in the maybe in the proper vein as I should. And our primary mission today, of course, is lifting up Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isn't that right? I hope you never lose sight of that. That's why we're together. But we're also here to praise our God who is the one who brings about for us, as Tom led us in that song about a Christian home, a home where the Bible is taught, a home where prayer is taught, a home where children are directed for their own lives, for their futures to become adults. Godly homes don't just happen. They are a result of a lot of hard work. They're built with strong hands of both men and women who follow after God's wisdom, hopefully. And those are the kind of homes that I think are the homes that bless our great nation, our land, and our world, no matter where that may be. I know if you've read the book of Proverbs, you remember chapter 31. Surely you do. There are two women presented in that particular chapter of the book of Proverbs. There is, of course, a very strong, virtuous woman that is described for us. Also described a contentious woman. In other words, individuals, people, women, for example, a wife has the power either to stabilize or to cause a chaos in a home. I wanted to begin today by reading from the book of Ephesians. In chapter 6, Paul writes and he says, "Children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." Now that's a reference to over in the book of Exodus when the law is given. After God describing Himself and who He is and what He expects from us, and He then tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers, and He gives that commandment with a promise so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord." I think in our world, did you notice that I said, "I think"? Okay? This is me. This is Bob. This is Preacher Bob. This is Hot Bob. However it is you know of me, or you think of me, or you remember me. I think we live in a time where maybe as adults we have not done our full responsibility when it comes to raising our children and helping them to understand what the Bible has to say when it's talking to us about our hoary-headed people, if you have a King James. That means gray-headed or older folks. I'm not sure that as a younger person I understood the gravity of what God was telling me in Scripture about how I should think about people who've lived for a little longer than I have. The Bible teaches, I think, very plainly that we are supposed to have a great deal of respect for those who have been blessed with years. I mean, just for living. And look, living to be old or to grow old is not necessarily any virtue in it, but growing to be old and becoming wiser because of that has a great advantage. You may walk by someone in this congregation that's older and go to someone of your own age because you know them better to look for your advice. While in the meanwhile, you've walked by maybe a very great resource of information about how to help you overcome whatever it is you might be struggling with. The Bible says, "Thou shalt rise up before the gray head or the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and thou shalt fear God. I am Jehovah." Even Solomon, the king in Israel, honored and showed respect to his aged mother. In 1 Kings chapter 2, and in verses 19, or at verse 19, he says that Bathsheba therefore went into King Solomon, that's his mother, to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king to meet her, and he bowed himself unto her, and he sat down on his throne, and he caused a throne to be set for the king's mother. And she sat down on his right hand. Now, we all know that Solomon didn't do what was right in the sight of God. You read and know about him. But you certainly know the story about him asking God to grant him with wisdom, and we know that he was known all through wisdom. And he knew that he was supposed to, as a son, be respectful toward his mother. He also said, as he wrote in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and at verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." You see, he had an understanding of what it meant to look to those who were older, and particularly those who had ties to him in terms of his mother, and look to them in great respect. It was heard in Israel, or in all of Israel, a great lamentation. It says that the faces of the elders were not honored. Lamentations 5 and verse 12. And as we were mentioning the Apostle Paul, he also says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and at verse 4 that children are to repay their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. And one of the ways, of course, that we honor them or we repay them is to honor and to respect them. Now, the Bible teaches that honor, or give honor to whom honor is due. So where does that leave us? What really is our responsibility? What is our responsibility to those who live before us? Those who are the gray-headed people, so to speak. It is a crown of glory, says the Lord. It shall be found in the way of righteousness, Proverbs 16 and verse 31. And listen to your father that begat you, and despise not your mother when she is old. That is Solomon again, Proverbs 23 and verse 32. You see, respect and honor of our senior citizens, those that are about us and in our midst, is a godly thing to do. We are asked to provide for them, Psalm 71 and verse 9, or excuse me, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. And then in Psalm 71 and 9, David says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, and forsake me not when my strength faileth." I think we have generations where children have forsaken their parents when they got old. Too many ignore elderly brethren, attitudes and actions defy the commands, you see, of God. I've never really started out a Mother's Day sermon like this, but it's just something that's on my heart that I've come to realize, for me, I'm not throwing an arrow at anyone else, but I'm saying I think we take for granted the wisdom that sits in those seats of those who are gray-headed. We sometimes overlook that, and we forget about that, because there are great blessings to learn from them while we have that marvelous opportunity. I'm happy today is Mother's Day. It makes me think of my own mother. Like probably many of you in this crowd, my mother has gone on. but I still remember her. And I remember the things that she tried to instill in me over and over again. And when I think about God's commands, when He gives us His first commandments, He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. Matthew 22, 36 and 37. And then He says, honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment, with a promise. Both of these are first commandments. One is a commandment with a promise, and the promise is so that it will be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Well, I thought about that, David. I don't know, I never looked at it like this, but you know, God made us out of dirt. Am I right about that? Is that the way you read the book of Genesis? Not how He made a woman, is He? No, it's not. You see, when God decided that it wasn't good, Michael, if we didn't have somebody to help us get dressed and tell us which was the right outfit to get on, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Because there's a lot of times that, you know, polka dots and stripes sounds nice to me. But we need somebody to help us. God gave be our helpmeet. Someone to give us some kind of intention about what we needed to do or to continue to do. When He formed a wife, a woman who would become a mother, He formed him from the side of man, a rib. So the Lord God took one of his ribs and He closed up the place. And instead of making her out of dirt, He made her out of flesh. Out of men's flesh. I say that God honored woman in doing that. A lot of times I think in our world today we don't think of a woman being in such a place of that honor every day like we should. Even though we men might say, well, it was Eve who sinned first. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be in this shape. Aren't you grateful for a God who says, even though the initial sin started there with Eve, and oh yeah, man was influenced to go along with it, they're both guilty. God includes all of us in His plan of redemption. Are you with me? When He says that we're supposed to honor one another, I mean each other, and in reality, we all know that the concept of honoring people, it doesn't leave itself with just the idea of a mother or a father or parents. We're all encouraged to honor each other, aren't we? Because God loves us. Because God made us. He made us what we are, what we should be. Let mothers, I say, be worthy of such honor. Let mothers be mothers. Though a virgin, a woman, God planned and purposed to bring Jesus, our Savior, into the world. Many years ago, Isaiah wrote, behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. I would pray that on this day, Mother's Day, 2019, that our mothers would be the kind of mothers who consecrate their children to the service of God like Hannah of old in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You've read that story. What a marvelous story. Let our mothers consecrate their children. Let our mothers be modest in their attire, as Paul would write in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Setting an example for all the people around them. And let the mothers teach their children, their grandchildren, well, Doug, just like Lois and Eunice, as we read about over in Timothy's 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning in class. Paul said, I'm convinced your faith came from them. What a marvelous family, even though we know that he had his struggles, Timothy did, with his family. Let the children honor your mothers. How are you going to go about doing that? Well, I love what the kids were doing up here. This is kind of like herding sheep or herding cats, wasn't it, this morning, David? They were kind of all over the place. But it's so encouraging to me to watch young people be influenced in how they can hold their hands together and say a prayer together just the way God intended it to be. That was a perfect example of what God wants in His family. Of our influencing them to grow up and to love Him. Kiddos, you can respect your parents by giving them obedience. Did you know that in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, that they taught the children and the family and the congregation to stand up when the older people came in? How many of you are old enough to remember that same kind of practice in the church where people stood up for the older people? They put them in the front of the line. I remember thinking as a kid that if I ever get to be that, I'm going to go to the front of the line. Oh, it's the kids that go to the front of the line now, isn't it? I hope you get what I'm trying to say. The Bible talks about respect and honor and gratitude. Your mother cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself. How many of you have a childhood story of how you may not have even lasted another hour or two in this world if it were not for your mother nursing you back to health? I'll bet that's not real uncommon. That we all tell some story, maybe about how a parent, how a mother set up so I could be healthy. So I could live a long life. Show them your gratitude. Be helpful to your mothers. Some little child up here said, you can take out the trash. Well, yeah, you could do that. That might be a good way. But I think that those of us that are adults, I think we can think of other great things. Now, I'm a dad. My phone doesn't ring a lot from my kids. I'm not saying it doesn't ring every once in a while. But almost every day, my wife tells me, well, this child called. Oh, yeah, what'd they have to say? They call their mothers. They confide in them. One of the ways you honor a mother, I think, is confiding in them, telling them, or saying to them the things that you know that your mother can help you with. Well, I got lots of stuff. I'm not going to say all of it. Sorry, Bobby. Say, preach on. Thank you. I got one other thing I want to do. I want to look around in this room here and say to you that I see some of you that are here because you came because it was Mother's Day. You want to show honor and love to your mother, and I commend you for that. I would never want to sound negative, but I do want to say this about honoring her by serving God every day. Because I know that that's what her prayer is for you, to serve the Lord so that in your old age that you can encourage your kids and your grandkids about God our Father who is in heaven and be faithful unto death. Let me encourage you to love your mothers. Be with your family today. If there's something on your heart you'd like to tell us about, why don't you come while we stand and sing?